Hallelujah. Yeah, we give God praise. So today, I think we would, you know, first of all, I want to implore every one of us. I'm sure you go back to the message around common salvation, commonwealth. It will do us a lot of good, particularly as we are trying to arrange ourselves so that God can find us very useful for most of his project in this end time. Hallelujah. Amen. So please do yourself, I would say listen over and over again. And you can even do your own personal study as well, so that God can really help our hearts to understand what he's saying to us. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Bible says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So God is heavily invested in building his church. Building his church. So when God looks at the people that they've desired to be called by his name, then it's not just about that. It's not like God would just outsource the name and that's about it. At that point, we are not yet his people. Amen. Amen. At the point where we ask for to be his people and he should be our God. At that point, when he said, I will be your God and you shall be my people. At that point, they were not yet a people. Or they were not yet a people of God. Because even after then, a lot of them died, or like Bible said, slept. And so the journey to becoming the people of God is a real journey. It's not that we say that this center is for God, and then that automatically makes us the people of God. You know, as much as God would have wished that the day we said we want to be his people, it's from that day we start becoming the people of God. It would be nice, honestly. God wouldn't have to take us through the wilderness for 40 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there was a reason why they had to stay in that experience. It's so that he can make them a people of God. He had to expire everything that would not look like the people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, there are many things we are saying, but we're also saying that what God does in our midst is for God's people. And for us to be people of God, there's a way we have to position ourselves. You know, like I said, we've said, God, we are your people. But outside of or beyond that announcement or that proclamation or that confession, we also need to find out what God does to a person that wasn't his people or a group of people that was or that were not his people. And how does God turn them to becoming his people? For example, when we say we are the people of God, there's a type of love that operates or that will operate in our midst. Now, it wouldn't be a magical love. God has to work it in our heart so that it wouldn't be plastic. Do you understand? So I remember so many, many years ago, you know, I always thought it's, you know, in that gathering, I mean, we always scream on ourselves that we need to love one another, but we didn't love one another. Do you get? So it's not so much about what we are shouting. It's that we have positioned ourselves in a place where the word of God is able to work a process in our heart, and then we turn out to becoming the people of God. So becoming a people is not, number one, it's not a child's play. You know, and it's not what God just does because we have said it. He will test us. He will try us, you know. The part that is very interesting is that trial. It will prove. Let me not use trial, because the way some people think of trial is like suffering. But it will prove that you really want to be his people. It will prove it. And just the same way, for most of the guys, when you get married, the marriage will prove that love. I love you from head to toe, from toe to head. The marriage will prove it. It will prove and it will prove it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so it's not, we will not see all that God intends to do in our midst if we are not his people. But before we can become his people, he would have to take us through his own journey. You know, it's God that understands how we can become his people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all of these things that God is teaching us is so that we can be a people of God. I mean, some people would also say so that we can become God's end time army or the army of the Lord. Yeah, you're right. Because in that becoming a people of God, we would also become soldiers of Christ. You know, and each and every one of us will be able to wield God's weapon, you know, to wage a good warfare. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we shouldn't allow, you know, all these messages, some of them, you know, we might even, you know, in retreats, play some of them again, so that we can really have the impartation that God wants us to have beyond the service that brought the message, beyond the message itself, but more so the spirit behind the message. There's actually a spirit behind the message. And it's not English, it's not eloquence. There's something God is demonstrating with the message that when we pay attention to it, God will give us entrance. And when we find entrance, we will be able to see what God wants to give to us, which will then become our inheritance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today, I think I want us to go slow. I don't think I want us to rush tonight, because I feel like we might just, before we come back to Commonwealth again, which I think might be like the wrapping up version, or maybe an attempt to wrap it up. I feel like we've done some good justice with Commonwealth. And everybody in this house, you know, you will just find it very easy to say that at least there's something here that is for me too. And then you can trust God to lay hold on it. Hallelujah. So today, I want to look at, you know, what I'll call living an effective life. But we're going to be starting from the life of faith. And so we'll go on this journey as God would have it, you know. And we'll be sure God will bless us. Now, the reason I want us to look at this, because I also don't want us to miss the reason why we want to go on this journey. Like I said, it's living an effective life. And we are starting with the life of what? The life of faith. Now, the reason God would have anybody be effective is so that on the judgment day, you will not be ashamed. Now, what are we trying to say? We're saying that by the time you're done on earth. Now, a lot of people don't look forward to finishing everything before they leave here. Let's start from there. The most percentage, they just want to be okay. Like, we have a lot of troubles that are enough for us to what? Just be okay. Like, Like, it's tough going through the normal hurdle. That's what I mean. So, the normal expectation of most, and when I'm saying most people, I'm not even talking about unbelievers now. Do you get? The normal expectation of most people is just to go through life and, you know, it's more or less like they say, to go through this journey, you need one or two things to go through it safely. And then as a child of God, you are hoping to go through that journey safely. Now, you're not expecting so much of innovation. Like, you are not interested even in any other thing than just going through that phase and going through it alive and getting to the end of the journey. And you are fine if you get to the end of the journey naked. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, nothing was added to you. Maybe on the way they tried to remove, but God kept you, you know. For example, a typical you, if you are traveling, what you are thinking is there will not be accident. You are not thinking that somebody will bless you on the road. Yeah, God, journey mercies. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like a typical, because the world is full of troubles. So the minimum viable brain is, let me just go through this. If you're starting a new anything, you are always on the lookout for, you shouldn't get spoiled. Because, yeah, we're in a world where if you don't apply godly force to a thing, it will regress. So I'm not saying you should not pray when you are going out for journey messages. Pray. The road is bad, so pray. But what I'm saying is, can we go through life and we defeat all the orders of life, but we had a lot added to us? So that's what I mean by, you know, because by time you get to, we get to the end of this whole thing, we would really understand what should have been added to us that was not added to us. Like, you will see everything for what it is. You will see the person that came to your life that you should have given more access, that should have done more. You will see a lot of things. And so when the Bible says, you know, we wouldn't be ashamed, or we shouldn't be ashamed, or some were ashamed, is that when they saw their journey, they saw that it could have been more. You know, how many of you have done maybe you've been for an interview before and you negotiated a salary. And by the time you go into the organization, you find out that you could have asked for more. How many of you know that feeling? You know, you will not be happy. I always try to encourage organizations not to always do that. Because some people can negotiate more than some people. You know, some people have been selling paper from childhood. They know how to price, take things up and up. But some people don't know. They've been buying supermarkets. They don't negotiate. They don't know how to negotiate. They just pick something from supermarket. You go and, if you price in supermarket, you're a wicked human being. They get, you say, please, this thing is 15 naira. Can it be? Yeah, you don't deserve supermarket. You deserve shops. That's where you should go to. But for those who can't negotiate, when they come into the organization, you guys are doing almost the same work, right? But you now find out that they are paying this other person more. And probably maybe why this guy earns more was because maybe the guy had an insider that gave him the information that, the salary is this, so just ask for this and all of that. And then you'll be feeling not happy. I mean, the feeling could be many things, but at least there's unhappiness at the root of it. You understand what I'm saying? And so when we know that we can have more, particularly when we know that it was already provided in salvation, then we need to employ everything that's been provided. So being effective is that there's no ground that you've left untapped. Hallelujah. Being effective is that there's no part of your life that is left untapped. That by the time you get to the end of your journey, you would have seen that God has touched or God has come through for you in every area. Like there's no part that you and God are still trying to settle scores. Like if it's obedience, fulfill obedience in every area of your life. So you can understand what I mean by being effective, right? It's that we are living a life that God would have reached. And there's no part of you that is held back that has not had the presence and the touch of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's start tonight's conversation from Romans chapter 1. From verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and also for the Greek. Verse 17. For it is the what? The righteousness of God. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Can we all say that? By faith. So Apostle Paul was writing here, and he was saying that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Yeah, simple, right? Says that the gospel, good news, is what God uses to, you know, deliver salvation to everyone who believes, both the Jew and to the Greek. Verse 17, which is where I want us to stay. So he says in that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed in it from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Amen. So the word of God is line upon line, right? Precept upon precept. But it says that for us to come. So he says there's a revelation in the word of God. He says that revelation is the righteousness of God. So as much as God uses it to work salvation, when we either look into it or when we study it or when we have it made manifest in our lives, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, the righteousness of God that is being revealed is also revealed from what? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the life of the just is going to be propelled and powered by that which is revealed. Amen. Amen. So you're not living your life based on what you know. You're living your life based on what is revealed. Now, this is why we don't assume by just what we see with our physical eyes to determine how our lives would go. You get the height or the depth or the spread of your life is how much has been revealed to you. So when you say that I'll be big in God, hopefully that bigness was revealed to you. So you won't be big in God because you desired bigness. You understand what I'm saying? No, the word of God will not bring you that which is not revealed. So our lives are in, been cascaded in buckets of revelations. So that's why a child of God can't live without revelation. Now, when you say revelation, there are different types of there's the Rhema, there are different types of revelation as a word in itself. But the revelation I'm talking about tonight is what God has revealed to you through his word. Hallelujah. So when you take your Bible and you're reading your Bible, I mean reading your Bible, I'm not saying you are doing any other. I mean just take Psalm 119 and you're reading Psalm 119. Now in that exercise or in that reading, what God reveals to your heart is what I'm saying, that God is revealing what you shall be. This is why we say we don't do anything if God has not revealed it. So it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. So when we take the gospel that God works salvation in us by, what we get from it is we are seeing what God is doing with us. We are seeing what God is doing in our lives. And so therefore, we will live by that which is revealed. It says the just will live by faith. Now you might say that, I mean it's fine to say that the just would live by the revealed word. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The just would live by what? The review. So it means the just wouldn't have expression if God doesn't reveal his word to the just. So there's no opportunity to live. Meaning, as much as you want to be a just person, but the possibility to live. Now, the problem of the just that wouldn't live is that it will be self-righteous. So for example, you know, you could say that me just locking up myself in my room, not interacting with the world, has made me just. No. Is how much of power you have to interact with the world that keeps you just. That is really the power. So if I cut off my interactions with every human and I withdraw myself and I don't have any life to live. Like I don't have any, like Effie, I'm just in my room. No, nothing. Like there's nothing. You can't attribute that I'm living by just withholding myself back. So it says the just would not have any fear to interact with his world because he's going to live by faith. So he's going to live by the revealed word. He's going to live by that which God has revealed in his heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the life of faith is first of all the life of revelation. So to be effective, you need to live your life by revelation. So as a child of God, your next step, the thing you're currently doing, the thing that has currently maybe is a blocker or there are troubles moving from that position, you need revelation to move from that step to the next step. You need revelation to do the next thing. And so a life that God provides revelation to is a life that would be able to do all that God intends it to do. You know, the reason why at times we are short-changed is because we are short-sighted. Like when somebody cheats us, you just didn't see something. I mean, at times, the reason why we even miss opportunities is because we are not able to appreciate much. You really don't know how big or how small the thing is. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll just read through. You know, I just also want to say to us that as people of God, the breath in our nostrils is not the only parameter by which we should judge we living or not. You know, the ability just to breathe. What forms our oxygen is that we are living day to day by what God is revealing in our hearts. And let me say this to us. As a child of God, you should expect that God will be revealing things to your heart. As a child of God. Now, the simple trick is this. If you don't study your Bible, there's no reference. That's the problem. Because the only palette for the conversation is the word that is in the heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. Like the word that, I mean, this word that you've read, you know, read your Bible day, every day. So that word that you've read is like the medium through which that revelation is now conveyed. So if that word is not there, most likely, there won't be revelation. So as a child of God, your own practice, his own is to bring revelation. Your own practice is to read your Bible. Now, as much as that statement is simple, we cannot outgrow it. Now, whether it's meeting you at a place of need or at a place of fullness, dude, forget that one. Because as I'm saying that, someone is not reading the Bible. But as I'm also saying, somebody is reading the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? But whether you are reading or not, I'm saying that the only reason God would give you revelation, the only reason God would tell you, this is how I intend you to be, it wouldn't be outside of the scripture. For example, if God intends you to turn out to be Ruth, and you've never read Ruth before, you won't turn out to be Ruth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, you won't. You know? Or God intends you to turn out to be any amazing thing in the scripture. If that knowledge is not resident first, there won't be a medium by which it would reveal himself to you and tell you that this is how I intend you to also turn out. And becoming any of these beautiful people is not writing the principles. Like, what's the principle of Ruth? What's the principle of Obadiah? They now mix everything together. Yeah. Because there is a life that God revealed through each of those personalities in the Bible. You know, I've heard someone that, maybe my own is Prophet Uzziah. I'll marry prostitutes. I say, okay. Go and marry one. And you know that God did not pander for you. Yeah. You know, people, see, if God doesn't reveal himself to you, your natural intellect can come to conclusions. You can just add this plus this plus this, then you will get something. But it won't be the just living. It will be somebody else living. And you won't have lived by faith. Because you are not living by the righteousness of God that is revealed. And so the practical for us is we know that there's word in the tank that God can use as a reference. This is how we don't even go into error as well. You know, particularly if you are the type you love revelation, but you don't have any residual word in the heart, you will run into error. So every time you take your Bible, you are reading it in anticipation. It might not be at that time that the revealed word would be passed to you. But you just put a deposit that, you know, it's even an act of faith. Reading your Bible is an act of faith that it would reveal his word to you. So he's a faithless man that did not read Bible and is expecting revelation. So if you say that, God, you know, I need to know how to do this business. Have a word that is residual or that is waiting for that revelation. So that there will be something to light up on the altar. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, let's stop here. Now, he says, faith was something that the elders. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. He says, the elders were able to use faith to obtain a good testimony. Now, this is telling us that with faith, the elders lived a complete life. Like, regardless of their seasons, where God took them from, what story God crafted out of their life, like, regardless of how and what it is, it was a testimony. Now, because by the time we go into these elders, naturally, some didn't start well. Some didn't end. Some didn't look like they ended well. If Hebrews 11 was not written, we'll not believe some ended well. Some, we wouldn't have believed they were accepted. I mean, like Rahab. You know, Rahab is, she's not connected to Abraham. Like Rahab. It's not like Rahab was a lost seed of Father Abraham. Because by the time we trace her down, she's connected to the genealogy of Jesus. But if you connect her back, you know those lines that don't join? It's parallel line. They just form parallelogram on the other side. Somehow they just did like this shim. But from this way, they were coming straight. That's a beautiful thing about a life that God has taken a hold of. See, you need to first of all understand that there's something called His righteousness that makes you just. It says all the elders, before you go into what their life looked like, they all had good testimony. Before you start from the one that came out from a Christian home, the one that came from a Muslim background, the one that came from a traditionalist home, all the elders, the one that didn't even sign up for this, let's go to verse 3. So they all obtained good testimony. They all obtained good reports. That's what King David said. It means when you look at their life, it was a good report. Like it wasn't like they did well and they did bad. You know, he said of Abraham, he said all that Abraham did was accounted unto him as righteousness. Let's just read. I mean, what we are paraphrasing is all here. It is by faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So he's saying that, you know, when Moses wrote the first four books, I mean, the creation to him was, those ones were revealed. It wasn't there when God was saying, let there be light, let there be this. It wasn't. But what we know is Moses that wrote Genesis, the way I'm looking at her. It's not God that wrote it too. Some of you are falling in love with Genesis 1. Moses. We know when Moses came now. Yeah. He says, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So those were the exercises of, and God said, let there be light, let there be this. So he says that by faith, we understand that those things happened by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Let's wait on Abel. It says, by faith, the sacrifice of Abel was more excellent than the sacrifice of Cain. You know, there's one thing that immediately gave out Cain is when God revealed his heart. You know, there are two things God's revelation does to us. It reveals God's heart to you, and it reveals what's in your heart. You know, a lot of people always say, we've heard that in the past, that the reason why God accepted Abel's, it was his fruit was from the ground. No. Abel was, was the animal, Abby. Cain was cucumber. He did cucumber and pineapple. And some garlic. No. It wasn't that this one offered fruit and this one offered ram. No. That's not in your Bible. Do you get my point? Now, what God accepted was their heart. And two things happened to them. Now, it says, this is what we understood what really happened. We didn't know so much about Abel. We knew a lot about Cain. Okay, let's go and read the story. Someone is thinking I'm reading a Jehovah's Witness storybook. Let's go and read our Bible. But different things are flashing the mind. They're trying to connect it. Wait, guys. Let's go and read our Bible. Are we there? Chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wrought. Can you switch that in KJV? Very what? Angry. Okay. And his countenance what? Fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry? And why is your countenance fallen? And the Lord said, okay, If thou doest well, let's put it in KJV. Switch it. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And we know what happened afterwards, right? Now, if you back it up a bit, just where they offered the sacrifice and when God was asking Cain why he was angry. So verse 3 and verse 4 told us about the different types of sacrifices that he brought. One came with the firstborn of his flock, and came with what? The fruit of the ground. Now both the animal and the ground, none was necessarily better. Now it was the type of the person or the type of the heart that offered the sacrifice that God looked at. Now, for Cain, God came to him and revealed his heart to him. There's nothing wrong in the fruit from the ground. The fruit from the ground is as bad or is as good as the firstborn of the ram or the firstborn of the flock of, and we don't even particularly, we don't know the flock. I mean, this flock would have sheep, goat, eggs, cow. It's just a flock, right? Now, we understand that the person that God dealt with was the heart of Abel and the heart of Cain. Now, before Cain offered that sacrifice that he offered, God told him what had been going on in his heart. So if you go to, it says, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Go forward. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance... Go forward. If you do well... go forward. No, sorry, hold on. 7. It says, and if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Now, there was a way of escape that God gave to Cain. And Cain had not gone here. Meaning, like, God still gave him a path to redemption. He says that if it's desire is for you, but you should... So God told him that there's something lying at your door. It's going to take you out. But if you rule over it, you will defeat it. But that thing really wants to take you out. Verse 8. Then we all know what happened. Cain killed his brother, meaning the thing that was in his heart came to pass. I mean, it overcame him. It didn't rule over it, and then he killed his brother. So the life of Cain was not determined by that sacrifice. His life was determined by that which was in his heart that God even graciously revealed. Now, he now told us in Hebrews that what made Abel's sacrifice more excellent was faith. You know, immediately after that, the only thing we heard about Abel was his blood crying. That was the guy didn't even give the guy opportunity for them to write about him. But they now helped us to understand how Abel lived. He says that he offered, what he offered was more excellent because it was offered by faith. So you can see that our lives, we will not make our lives go through unnecessary sacrifice if it's not by faith. You won't just say everybody is doing this. And then I also have to do it as well. Now, that it was a hustle does not mean God would appreciate that you hustled. No. And I don't even like that word necessarily. Let me use a more dignifying one. Hard work. And like I even said, it's profit that is in labor, not necessarily dignity. There are a lot of hard work that there's no dignity there. I've always known one wheelbarrow man. I think this would be like the 28th year I've known him. He's still a wheelbarrow. And the hard work there there's no dignity. So the sacrifice that Abel offered was more excellent because it was offered by faith. And so Abel didn't take the firstborn of his flock just because it's the firstborn of his flock. Something was revealed to him that ordered that sacrifice, that made God accept it. Don't forget what we read in Romans. It says, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is not ashamed of it, because it is the power of God unto salvation. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed by faith. So when Abel was carrying out that activity, it was from what God had revealed in his heart. Because the question would be, how would he know what is an acceptable sacrifice? Now, this is likely the first time a sacrifice was offered in the scripture. So there wasn't a template of, you know, when Abraham came, Abraham created a lot of pattern as to circumcision and all those things that is even still used in today's Jewish culture. But Bible says what he did, it was an act of faith to God. Let's go back to, So by faith, we know that Abel offered a better sacrifice. And so even the direction that our lives will go will not just be in the direction that maybe everybody is going, or direction that we think is simple, or that the direction we think is hard. No, if you go in a direction that is propelled by faith, then it would all turn out to be a good report. That's what he's saying. He says, it's not that you saw what is working for the other brother, then you decided to do it, then that's why God accepted it. No, it's that you did it because of what has been revealed to you, and then it turned out to be a more excellent one. So it wasn't already attributed. They didn't say ram is better than this, then he now took ram, then he now offered it. Then Cain now found that God had cursed. No, that's theological illiteracy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you're trying to join what cannot be joined. You know, you go to where God was cursing man, you know, where he said, out of the ground. No. Hallelujah. Yeah. He says, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had what? Taken him. For before he was taken, he now, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's read on. But without faith. Now this is a continuation of Enoch's story. So they said, before he was taken, people knew that he pleased God. But he now, they now told us here, no, please go back to 6. He now told us here that if he didn't have faith, he wouldn't have had any ability to please God. So he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now you will see, they are still describing the life of Enoch here. It's still Enoch, you know, they broke it into, we saw Abel. Abel's experiences, I won't go through anything, except it's revealed. That's what makes it excellent. It's not I'll do it, then God will see my sweat. Then God will try and just accept it. And that's why waiting for a believer is more rewarding than haste. Like waiting. When that word wait upon the Lord. Like waiting. Like everybody's moving. But you have the grace to wait on the Lord for the next. Like you're seeing what is obviously like the next thing to do. But there is a strength in your soul to wait. See, the next thing you will do will be more excellent than them all. That's what God does. But in the case of Enoch, he says Enoch had a strength that you can truly call him the God seeker. Like that was what he was doing. And while he was seeking God, God rewarded him with the faith that he now used to please God. Let's read verse 5 and 6 together. It's like, I think the last time some of us read is Hebrews 11. We ran through it. Don't worry. That's why it's, the way we're like, it's the kakini now. No. We've seen Abel small. I think, aside from just knowing the genealogy of Enoch, this is the only place we really knew about Enoch. At least in the Bible, in this Bible. There are other books, so if you don't know. Yeah. Have you read the book of Enoch? Aha, so if you like, go and read it, because I've said it now. You will just join the Olumba Olumba. You say, You know, that's how they start. Yeah, they now have fellowship in school, in campuses. Hope you guys know. We that we are still sitting and waiting for fire to go to camp. Olumba Olumba has gone there. No. Before I even left school, they were already in school. Before I left school, so I wouldn't even imagine what they will be doing now, which is so many years after. They were already having Sunday service. Yeah. It says by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and wasn't found. Because we knew what happened. God took him. For before he was taken, now it's good to appreciate, a lot of us appreciate that he disappeared. We don't appreciate what he was doing before, because he himself didn't plan disappearing. Yes. Some of us are planning disappearing. And that's why you are not disappearing anywhere. Let's understand what he was doing before he was taken. It says, for before he was taken, he had this testimony. So the good report for Enoch, you know, it says, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. Now his good report is that he pleased God. That was his testimony. That was his record. He pleased God. But Hebrews is now trying to help us understand that His ability to please God was not just on his own volition. It wasn't just that, oh, hi, Enoch, I want to please God. Because in his days, people was the most righteous man. But he now told us here that, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. Now, I like that they've commonized this experience. Now, what Enoch did was he sought God. And while he was seeking God, he was not. Bible says he sought God and he was not, meaning he disappeared. Now, they now said before they made him disappear, his life was seeking, pleasing. While he was seeking, they took him. But it wasn't just seeking and they took him. There was seeking, there was pleasing God. So the faith that was received from seeking was to please God. What they gave him immediately was not to disappear. It was while he had sought, pleased. And so the life of faith is a life that is inherently and consistently wanting to please God. But it doesn't start, you don't have the ability to please God. It says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, what you do is seek. So while you're seeking, the reward, which is the faith you get, is to please him. So the life of faith is the life of the seeker. The guy that is seeking God. That will then please God. You know, a lot of people are struggling to please God. Like a lot of people are struggling to please God because they're not seeking him. If you're not seeking God, most importantly, diligently, there's really nothing to measure pleasure with. For example, do you say you have pleased Tinubu? How many of you say you don't see him, you don't know him? But you can say you've pleased your father at home. You can say you've pleased your wife. Because you know what brings pleasure to the wife or to the father. And so Enoch was busy seeking, like he was literally looking for God. And there's not so much about just seeking. His experience was that as he was seeking God, the presence of God he found was that God gave him faith. Now, Romans 1:17. He says, faith is that righteousness of God is revealed. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that he was seeking God, he had the strength to please God. Now, they didn't give us the, let's say maybe the everyday practical living that Enoch was doing, that we can say, okay, he did this, then that's attributed to pleasure to God. But all that he did brought pleasure to God. Because he sought God, he found grace to please God. Let's go back to Hebrews 6. So the life of faith would only be possible if we are seekers. If we don't seek, we wouldn't find him. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we don't seek him, we wouldn't find him. You know, God is a God that should be sought after. He says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if we do this as well, we will find out that the same experience that Enoch had, which was he sought God and he was able to please God, we would also have it. You know, the only understanding most people have fantasized is that disappearance. Like it just went. I'm even thinking, this is just my own thought too, that when he just disappeared, it wasn't like they told him that you will disappear now and he just disappeared. It was just one of those things that just happened. And probably maybe when he disappeared, he was like, ah, okay, let me continue skiing. Because his own life was painted with that ability to seek God, diligently seek God. Let's read on. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. You know, like we said, faith is God revealing himself to you. Now, he says, by faith, Noah took knowledge of things that were to come. And he moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Verse 8, please. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation. Now, we know this very well because they really detailed the life of Abraham. Now, all the experiences that Abraham was having, Genesis 12, walk before me and be thou perfect. Ishmael came into the scene. Oh, this is not the promised seed. Let Hagar go and son. Like, all of those things, they were Abraham living out the life that God has revealed in his heart. You know, remember the night that he came to him and, you know, after that Genesis 12 experience, when he told him to walk before me and be thou perfect, and he told him to go outside and count the stars. Now, all of those things, they are God revealing to Abraham what he shall be. Or we shall be, or how it will turn out to be. He says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared. So, everything Abraham was turning out to be, or what he was becoming, was what God was revealing to him. He will come to him and tell him, as the sand on the sea cannot be numbered, so will your. All of those things was God come to him, revealing himself to him. Go back to Hebrews. Don't worry. Anyone I want us to study would look into them. But let's just run. We still have other scriptures. The new timer is not as slow as the projection. It's faster than your hand. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky. So that was describing Abraham. As good as what? As good as dead. Were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, we are assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham. Now we can really understand why he's the father of faith. Every other person is just two verses. We don't have time. You know? They are really stressed. They are, and this is Abraham's life in a miniaturized form. They are trying to summarize his life quickly so that they can move to the next person. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born. Now, all these things that we're reading, I think the first thing that you should put to us is, there are a lot of activities going on in our lives. Which one of them are we going to colonize like this? Like, by faith, I left Oshogbo to Lagos. Or that living can be an excellence. Like, maybe you sacrificed, you know, whatsoever you had in Oshogbo to come to Lagos. They can't say it was an excellent sacrifice because it wasn't done by faith. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child or a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Go on. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Sam. Now, these are other guys that go see time. Friends, what God desires of us is that every part of our lives would have been lived by that which God has revealed. It says even Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophet, they all had expressions of a life of faith. They subdued kingdoms, walked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, that's Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, who is that one? You can see that there are a lot of people that they didn't, there was no time, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains. Now, this is still life of faith. And so, the faith we're even talking about is not faith to receive or not to receive. That's not. This is a faith that can power a life. Not faith to receive answers to prayers alone. This faith to live. You know, when it says the just shall live by faith. Still others are trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn into two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained... So they had to help us really understand that. God can take everything. Not the good part. It's not even the bad part that makes it faith. It's that they've lived that life from what God had revealed to them. So God had said, oh, Gideon, you will be this. Daniel, you will be this. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you will be this. And so everything they went through became, you know, when he says that all things work together for good to them that love God and accord according to his purpose. Now, that's the life of faith. He says all things. Now, I mean, there are things that happen to us. At times, you would even know that it's your hand that caused this. That you wish it didn't. It didn't happen. Not to even talk of God. Use it to work all things that works together for good. Like, it shouldn't have happened. But God is saying that when we choose to live our life not by our senses, not by what we see, but by that which is revealed in our heart, then we have the strength to live a life of faith. And all this, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Amen. Can you go back to two verses? I said I won't restore. It's where they can meet us. And all this, including yours. You know, you already told us that what Enoch did is possible. I didn't say what Enoch expected with. I said what Enoch did, which is seeking. Because I won't go there. Because the Oluwa that will come upon you now. you would only use it to live a life of faith. He says all of this. They were able to obtain a good testimony that throughout their lives, there wasn't any occasion that God would remove from the equation. And truly, all things work together for good. All things work together for this good testimony. You know, I think the one that fascinates me a bit is the Rahab experience. Can we go to, I think we read a lot of verses in this Hebrews. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, 6, 9, and then begin to tie it up. And so an effective life is not going to be possible if we don't first of all cement that our ability to be effective as a child of God or to be effective children of God is that our lives will be that of faith. You won't just live life on how you think you should react, but you would rather live life from that which God has revealed in your heart. And as a child of God, you must get accustomed to, God, what are you saying about this thing? God, what's, you know, when it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount. Now, your ability to go on the offensive is what God has revealed. You remember the story of David? When they ransacked this camp. He said, shall I pursue? And God said, yeah, pursue. You would overtake them. So the ability of a believer is, or the strength of a believer is from that which God has revealed in his heart. So the loss would not be, is victory minus the loss again. It will be victory. Because it will now then be insignificant that they came to the camp and sacked the camp. Like the enemy would literally wish that they didn't come to disturb his camp. No, go to 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, that is the salvation of your soul. Now, the reason why I brought us here is, now, this is the end of our journey. I mean, salvation of our soul. But he also says that that salvation of your soul is the end of your faith. So, what does that suggest? You started the journey of the salvation of soul the day you gave your life to Christ, right?
Yeah.
I think we all know that story. Salvation of the body, salvation of the soul, salvation of the spirit. Pastor Kenneth will not come and teach that one again. But if you want that, it's good though. If you don't know it, don't put your hand to the back. You know, I think they still that in believers class. So, but you know, man is a tripartite being, right? He has a soul. He lives in a body. No. He has a what? A spirit. No, that's not how we say it. Man is a spirit. He has something. But he said he has a spirit. Adasa. So man is a spirit. Right? He has a soul. He lives in a body. Now, the day the man gave his life to Christ, he started a journey called the salvation of his soul. So, you know, by the renewing of his mind, you know, he started loving God. He started carrying his cross daily. He started becoming like Jesus. Now, that journey, they said that journey is also as the experience of faith. You know, for Abraham, it was all his journey they attributed, and they said he, from that journey, he obtained a good report. He's also telling us that, because we might be thinking is the patriarchs that they will have to pull all of their life together to teach us faith. He's also saying that your own journey of salvation must be an experience of faith. That the end of it would also be called the end of your faith. Now let's look at Philemon 7. I think it's 6 or 7. Just quickly go there. No, go to 6. Do 5 and 6. Okay, hearing of your... Okay, let's read 1 to 6. It's 6 I'm going to, but... Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, there's this admonishment that Paul was giving. He's saying that your experiences would become effective because you are acknowledging every good thing which is in you in a context in Christ Jesus. Now, he's saying here that everything that a believer must be experiencing in Christ Jesus should be attributed to good things so that their faith will become effective. Go back to 1 Peter. There's no time again, but... let me see where we can just hang it tonight. Let me see if I read Romans 5:1-2. Don't go there yet. I'm coming, please. Romans 5:1-2. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, yeah, go to Romans 5. Then we stop here. Yeah. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, these three verses is how a believer ought to describe his faith life. So, looking at it from the journey God has put every one of us, which is the salvation of our soul, that your journey is also described by faith, but not so much, or not just that. He's also saying that your experiences in that experience, so you are on a journey of faith, right? Now, that journey of faith would lead you to the salvation of your soul, which is also the end of your faith. But in that journey, there is an expectation of a believer, which is the hope of the glory of God. He says that that experience also would come to you by faith. He says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice. So we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So as a believer is, so what makes a believer effective is that in his walk with God, as much as he's anticipating for the end of that journey, which is should end in faith. But every of the step that that believer is taking is also ascribed to him standing and rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. He's not waiting just at the end of, like, at the end of everything, hopefully they will give me a good report. No, he's saying that while I am walking, I'm in that, I'm standing, I'm seeking, I'm watching, I'm waiting in the hope of his glory. Let's read on. And not only that, but also glory in tribulation. Now, all of these things that Romans 5 will be telling us, these are the things you will be going through in your process. Now, for the patriarch, they had this, as much as they were looking forward to the ending of their journey, they also had tribulations in their journey. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, but the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without Christ, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For even when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. You know, tonight, what I want us to just stay with as we leave is that our lives would be effective. No, I'm not praying yet. Our lives will be effective if we live by faith. Like, there will not be, you know, one thing I try to help us see tonight is first, that the life of faith is the life that is revealed. It's the life God has revealed to you. It's not the life you got yourself. And everything that should happen to us, as much as the end of the journey is so that we would obtain a good report, but there are also buckets and experiences of faith in that journey. And so there will be opportunities for us to seek God, like Enoch did. And right there, we will be having the grace to what? To please God. And whatsoever happens while seeking, which I know practically, it won't be disappearing. But if anybody still disappears, as long as we know he has sought and pleased God, don't be afraid. But if you disappear without seeking, we'll try to retrieve you back. Because we are not sure where you went to. You know, when we read Enoch, all of us, we are just at peace that he went to God. They didn't say he went to God though. They just said he was not. For God, what? Took him. To where? But you don't need to anticipate where anymore. He already said what was expected of him was that he sought and he pleased God. For Abraham, every aspect of his life, he was not even a destination. Every experiences that he had, they were all attributed to righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. So we'll pick this up anytime, you know, God permits again. But I want us to just have this knowledge tonight. You know, we start, I think it will be a journey. The life The life of what? No, not even the living an effective life. Thank you. Living an effective life. God be with us in Jesus' name.
Amen.